Welcome to GNAC Insider, the show that lets you on the inside of the NCAA's Great Northwest Athletic Conference. Now, here are your hosts, Kevin Young and Evan O'Kelly.
Welcome to GNAC Insider. We're happy to have you with us tonight as we talk basketball. And yeah, we're getting into spring. It might not feel like it, but we've got baseball and softball on the agenda and on the show tonight as well, and it's exciting. It's an exciting time of the year, and very exciting in basketball. We've got both the men's and women's title runs are well underway and very tightly contested, and it's a very exciting race. And we're going to be speaking tonight with Rusty Osborne, University of Alaska Anchorage men's basketball head coach, kind enough to join us for a second time on the show this season. And then we're going to talk baseball a little bit later with Kellen Walker, the Western Oregon University men's baseball coach, and their program, again, predicted to win the GNAC. And in softball, the team that is predicted to win again this year is St. Martin's, and we're going to have their softball coach, Rick Doreen, with us tonight. And, of course, as usual, we have Evan O'Kelly. Evan, thanks so much for joining us tonight. How are you?
I'm doing well, Kevin. How are you doing?
Good. So you got a chance to go to St. Martin's and watch that game that was the game of the week against Alaska Fairbanks.
Yeah, that's right. The GNAC staff was up there. We helped pack the pavilion, and boy, it was a really good crowd that turned out. It was a whiteout, and all the students in attendance were wearing their white, and they're cheering real loud.
Yeah, the Saints have a good fan base there, but I'll tell you what, I was really impressed with the Nooks basketball team. They look tough.
Yeah, you know, they're right up there, tied for first place in the GNAC standings now, turning the curve, heading into the second half of the season, and that's a good basketball team.
We've got a lot of good teams coming up, and we're going to talk a little bit more basketball. In fact, we'll start out talking basketball here, Evan. I'm going to catch up with you a little bit later in the show. Thank you so much for setting everything up. Rusty Osborne joined us at a point of the season. It was just the beginning of the season. In fact, I don't think they'd played yet, hadn't played the Great Alaska Shootout, and had been predicted to be a tough team in the conference, and in fact, they have been. They just got off two very big road wins. You have a road trip in the GNAC, and you win both games, and that's kind of a special thing. Rusty Osborne is joining us tonight on GNAC Insider. Coach, thanks very much for being with us.
Well, I appreciate you having me.
So, like I just said, a road trip where you get two wins and no losses in the GNAC, that doesn't come by very often.
Yeah, it's something we really needed. We've been struggling to shoot the basketball a little bit and to defend, to tell you the truth. We played a very hot Central Washington team a week ago, and they came right up and got us in our place. They played very well, and we couldn't quite match up with them that night. And so, you know, sitting there, game under 500 with the first half almost over, it was important for us to go and put some good performances together. And we played extremely well at Western Oregon on Thursday night. And then Saturday night, we withstood a very inspired St. Martin's team with Riley Carroll coming back after missing a game and them thinking he's going to be out for the whole year and then coming back 2 days later to play against us. They were very inspired, played very well, And we were fortunate to come out of there with the win.
I heard some comments you made about the adjustment your team had to make. You play at Western Oregon. I know they were down one of their better players, out with an injury, but a more traditional offense, but not so with St. Martin's. Your team had to adapt to a totally different offense. Am I right about that?
Yeah, I think so. I think all the teams do when you play those two teams. You know, Western Oregon, you know, they rely a lot on their pressure. You have to withstand their pressure. They get a lot of turnovers. I think the last I saw, they were leading the league in causing turnovers, and that ignites their fast break. And every coach wants to get easy baskets, and I know that's what Coach Ferguson likes to do. And so we couldn't turn it over. But then when in the half court, you know, they run some sets, but they run a lot of motion also. I think there's a lot of different defenses if you play well that you can match up with them. Again, you have to play them well, but it's not like it's something out of the ordinary. St. Martin's coach Austin's put in a system to take advantage of his kids and He plays more of a smaller lineup, similar to us, and they spread you out and run you through a lot of screens. And, you know, it's with all the shooters they throw out there, it's hard to get yourself into a gap or into a help defense because they do a good job of taking advantage of that. And so, you know, adapting really quick within a, you know, 36-hour period from one system to the other, it takes some concentration. And I think eventually as the game wore on, we did a good job. But early, they were making some shots and executing, and we got in a hole. But credit to our guys, they fought back, and we were able to get back in it.
When you win a come-from-behind game on the road like that, that has to give your team some confidence.
Well, I think anytime you win a game, and you know, one of the things that that I learned when I first came up here is we don't really talk about you know, road and home. You know, we're scheduled 18 games, and you know, this isn't like hockey where you know you could play on an NHL style or size rink or an Olympic size rink where the rinks are different. You know, all the courts in our league are the same size. The baskets are 10 feet high, you know, we just emphasize that, you know, if you start talking about road and home, you're just giving yourself an excuse not to get the job done. And so, you know, our kids have bought into that. We don't worry about long travel, those types of things. We just kind of go do it. And if we don't get the job done, it's just because the other team was better than us on that night. But so I think, to get back to your main point, one of the things is, yeah, any time that you can overcome some adversity within a game, I think it spurs you on the next time that happens. And, you know, you learn from experience and understand that, hey, it's just 40 minutes. We may be down early, but if we just keep chipping away at it, we can get it done. We've done it in the past. And I think just all of us coaches, you know, we preach that. And when it happens, it's, you know, it's like trial and error. The kids, the players, they start believing in it also. So it's, hopefully it's good for us as we go along. Hopefully we don't have to experiment with that too much more.
Hey, when we spoke right before the season started, you talked to us about Travis Thompson, who was a guy who was out last year as a redshirt, didn't play, practiced with the team. You've got him back this year, recently named Player of the Week, Red Lion Player of the Week. Tell me about what he brings to your squad.
Well, you know, Travis, I think people, you know, we talked about in the fall, people have forgotten about him a little bit and what he could do. And, of course, he played behind the Division II Player of the Year his sophomore year. And, you know, he was able to grow as a player over his redshirt year, work on some of his weaknesses. And I think his sophomore year, he probably took 45 or 50 free throws the whole year. And you know, now he's up in the, you know, close to almost 150. And so he was able to add that dimension. He's not just a three-point shooter. He can put the ball on the floor and get to the basket and get himself fouled. He's a tough kid. He's one of our better defenders. He's got a 2-to-1 assist to turnover ratio. So Travis really brings a lot to the table. I mean, he's you know, the only thing he doesn't bring is a lot of height at 6 foot or 6'1". But other than that, he can really shoot it. 46% career three-point shooter, and you know, now at about 90% from the free throw line. But again, he's expanded his game to where he can take it to the basket. You know, and it's really important for us this year to have some of that because we don't have a post player that we can just throw it to and who can score like we have in the past and like other traditional teams have. And so, anytime you're playing basketball, you can't just shoot jumpers. You've got to get the ball close to the basket. And so being able to do that with the dribble with guys like Travis and Brian McGill has helped open up the three-point shot for us. And hopefully we can continue to do that and he can continue to have a successful year.
When we spoke, you talked before the season about some uncertainty at the post. Tell me about how that is coming to fruition. What's happening there?
Well, I think it's been a learning process for the coaches and for the players. You know, both of our post players are new and, you know, different from what we've had in the past. Brad Mears, I think, is developing a lot of confidence in the role that we've put him in. He is a very excellent mid-range shooter, you know, from anywhere up to about 16 feet. And I think as we've gone along, the team has found confidence in him, and we've found a role and put him in some spots where he can have some success. And I think over the past couple of weeks, he's really started to take another step forward. And Jackson McTeer is a kid who backs him up and is probably playing before he should. But because of our lack of depth at that position this year, he's getting some good repetitions in. He gives a great effort each game. Sometimes he gets a little overmatched physically. He's still a young kid, just turned 18. And so hopefully he'll take this experience and use it to his benefit. I understand he has to get bigger and stronger and we'll be better for this in the future. But, you know, in a tough circumstances, those two kids have done a great job. And then, you know, to compliment them, we've gone small at times. We've got Christian Lichtman, who's 6'6", 6'7", who was a starting wing for us last year. And then Colton Lowers, who is 6'3", but a good 230, 35 pounds. And just a son of a basketball coach. He understands basketball. He's become kind of our utility guy. He backs up to the point guard, but he's played every single position on the floor, and his numbers aren't great, but he's been very valuable in the things that he does. And the one thing he doesn't do, which coaches always like, is he doesn't turn it over. You know, he's got 13 turnovers in 20 games. And
wow.
He got about, I think he's, if he had enough assists, he would lead the league in assist to turnover ratio. I think he's got 45, 50 assists to 13 turnovers. And so he's very valuable. You know, playing different minutes, different positions for us. So,
I'm going to mention a few other names here. Tiankum Stafford, tell me about him.
Well, Tiankum is a young man again who's a little smaller. He's a 6'5", playing the power forward position for us, which isn't too bad in our offense. You know, we like to shoot the three. There's even in years where we're not shooting as many as we do, it's still been a big part of our offense. And so, even though he's a little smaller, he's a lot of times a matchup problem because he has perimeter skills and he can shoot the three-pointer. But he is athletic and strong enough to be able to guard bigger guys defensively. And, you know, he's right there, second or third, I think, in the league in rebounding. And, you know, he shoots it very well, about 38%. And you know, he's been a great contributor for us. Special kid. He's a 4.0 student, psychology major. Here at the end of his junior year, he will earn his degree, and looking forward to starting a master's program as we go forward. So not only does he excel on the floor, he excels off the floor, and you know, we're proud of the things that he's accomplished.
That's great to hear. A couple other guys I want to mention, Brian McGill and Kyle Fossman.
Well, Kyle's returning off first-team all-conference and has just picked up right where he left off. He's got a little more help out there this year and you know, 45% three-point shooter, a tough kid, very tough kid. Even at 6 foot, you know, he had a double-double with rebounds the other day against Western Oregon. And he's averaging a career high in rebounds. Again, doesn't turn the ball over. You know, we stress that a lot. Keep possession of the basketball, and our kids have bought into it. And so Kyle has done a great job of that his whole 4 years here, just passed 1,000 points, which was a special night for him. And you know, we'll be sorry to see him go at the end of this year. And then Brian McGill was a kid we had talked about along with Travis in the fall coming in and had played a nice role for Western Oregon as a freshman 2 years ago on their senior Layton team. You know, played his role, didn't average a lot of points, but over his redshirt year with us, really, again, grew his game and worked hard and is paying off. And he's been in the top five in the league and in top one or two in assists, top five in the league in scoring and top one or two in the league in assists the whole year. He shoots 50%, shoots over 50% from three-point line, and it's just having a great sophomore year. We believe that he'll continue to get better over the next few years and feel that point guard position is in good hands for the foreseeable future.
I'll tell you what, you've talked about a lot of young talent on your team.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. We didn't have a whole lot of seniors last year, and it ended up we didn't have a whole lot this year either. You know, we just have the two, Kyle Fossman and Colton Lowers. It's one of those things. One of these years, I guess, we'll have some. But we go into each game where, you know, we might not have the most freshmen playing, but we have a lot of, you know, freshmen, sophomores, and juniors where a lot of other teams are more senior-based. And so, you know, hopefully they'll grow up and continue to get better as the year goes on. At least we have a core group coming back over the next few years. And if we can have some good recruiting years. Hopefully we can stay near the top of the conference.
You've got two big games coming up. I want to talk to you about the Root Sports game of the week here in a minute, but Simon Fraser coming up first.
Well, they're scary. I mean, all you have to do is watch that tape of them playing against Northwest Nazarene the other day, and I can't remember the last time I saw any team at any level make their first 12 shots in a row. And, you know, some of them were open, but a lot of them, Northwest Nazarene was playing good defense on them, and the kids hit them. And so when you go 12 for 12 and 10 of them are from the three-point line, that adds up to a whole lot of points real quick. And so, again, you know, we like to self-evaluate ourselves. We haven't been the greatest defensive team as we've gone along. Hopefully we're getting better, but we're going to have to be good on Thursday night against a team who's playing with a lot of confidence. And Coach Blake and I go back a long ways. I have a lot of respect for the job he does there. Even in tough times, if he has injuries or losses, he keeps his kids playing hard. And so we know that we're going to get a great effort out of them. And if we concentrate on anything except them through Thursday night, we'll find ourselves coming out of there with a loss. And so that's what we'll do. The good thing is this is the second half of the league. So the Saturday turnaround is not quite as daunting as it is in the first half because you've played a team. We've played Western. They've played us. You know, you're more tweaking you're tweaking your scouting reports. You're tweaking, you know, what you're going to do personnel, what you're going to do defensively, offensively, as opposed to putting in total game plans. And so we'll concentrate just on Simon Fraser till you know, about 7:15 because it's a 5:15 game. We have two odd time games this week. We play 5:15 to Simon Fraser, so we'll be over about 7:15, and then we'll concentrate on our 9 o'clock game Saturday night against Western Washington, which is exciting for the conference. You know, of course, it's nice for Western and us, but it's great for the Great Northwest Athletic Conference to be on Root Sport and the support they give us. You know, things our conference commissioners, first Richard Hannon and now Dave Hagman, have done to get us that exposure is just tremendous. And I think the more we're on, the more the people in the Northwest and even all across the country in the Root markets are going to see what a great brand of basketball is played in the Great Northwest Athletic Conference.
I think that's exactly right. Well, we look forward to seeing you guys Saturday night, 9 p.m. Pacific time at Bellingham, a tough place to play.
Yeah, but most of them in our league are. And and so we've scheduled it, and we'll show up. We'll do the best job we can. Hopefully we represent the conference well. Hopefully it's a great game for people to watch. And I know one thing. I haven't had to worry about my kids. They're going to play hard. They're going to give an honest effort. Will they make some mistakes? Probably. But it's not going to be because they're not playing hard. And so I think that'll come across, and I know the Western's kids were too. You don't have the success that that they have had without having great character and great work ethic. And so should be a battle. And again, hopefully it's a great showcase for the GNAC.
I look forward to it. Thanks, Coach, so much for being with us.
Hey, I appreciate you having me, and good luck to everybody, both on the men's and women's side as we go forward.
Thank you so much. Rusty Osborne, the Seawolves, Alaska Anchorage, men's basketball coach, tough trip. I'll tell you what, Simon Fraser on the road and then at Western Washington. And we're going to be talking some baseball and some softball coming up in just a few minutes. Now let's see what's happening around the GNAC. In women's basketball, the race for first place remains tight as four teams won both of their games last week. Currently at the top of the GNAC standings are Montana State Billings and Western Washington, with Seattle Pacific and Simon Fraser just one game behind. In men's basketball, Seattle Pacific, Western Washington, and Alaska Fairbanks are in a three-way tie for first place. In the latest top 25 poll, Seattle Pacific jumped four spots to number 20. In baseball, Western Oregon has been picked to win its 13th consecutive GNAC title, receiving four of five first-place votes in the preseason coaches poll. In softball, St. Martin's was unanimous pick to repeat as GNAC champions this season, receiving all seven first-place votes. And all of the Red Lion Players of the Week for the period ending January 26th can be found at GNACSports.com.
Now is the perfect time to enjoy a romantic stay at the Coeur d'Alene Resort. Book a Lake Tower room with a cozy fireplace and world-class view of Lake Coeur d'Alene. Take advantage of Beverly's renowned wine cellar and five-star dining. Or enjoy the resort's many luxury amenities, including our award-winning spa, indoor pool, and fitness facility. You just can't beat the view from the Coeur d'Alene Resort. Packages start at just $189. To book your getaway, call or visit cdaresort.com.
In old school terms, like when football players wore leather helmets, it was called getting your bell rung. High impact shots to the head. Today, we know a lot more about concussions, and one reason is an engineering team over at UAA.
This is an important project because we're learning that if concussions are not detected and left untreated, they can have a dramatic impact on people later in life and possibly lead to dementia and severe depression.
In a nondescript basement laboratory in the engineering department over at UAA, soccer balls are shot at a researcher wearing an electronic mouth guard that measures the impact of the ball hitting his head. The invention is patent pending and could A, lead to better forms of protection, and B, allow instant diagnosis not just for athletes, but for our troops as well. Innovative concussion research. Just one of the amazing stories being written every day at the University of Alaska Anchorage.
We're going to talk baseball now, and we really could not have a better guy to have than the man whose team was just voted by his fellow coaches as the preseason favorite in the GNAC. And why not, after 12 consecutive baseball championships of Western Oregon University, Kellen Walker joins us tonight. Coach, thanks very much for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So, I'm always amused, never really had too much exposure to college baseball, but January and baseball, and you guys are hitting the road here this week or next week to go down to California. How is it to, does everybody kind of get eager to actually go down to California and actually go outside and practice?
Yeah, absolutely. And, baseball in the Northwest is definitely a battle, and, it turns into a year-long process for sure. And puts a big responsibility on our guys in the month of December to make sure they're coming back and ready to go. And we start practice there right after Christmas break. And, credit to them, they came back in shape and we were able to start attacking it January 6th. And, we're leaving Friday to go down and play a very good Monterey Bay team down there that was number one team going into the regional last year.
So tell us, you're entering your third year, am I correct, as head baseball coach?
This is my second year as a head coach.
Okay,
yep.
Second year.
Yep. And I was an assistant here for 6 years as well.
But what a dramatic record you guys have had. 12 years in a row, the GNAC baseball championship. And you look, I've lived in the Northwest for a long time. And to see baseball blossom as it has in the Northwest, for me as a baseball fan, I think is very exciting.
Absolutely. It's a, testament to the quality of players that are here in the Northwest and, what they're able to get done with the conditions and, continuing to build their games and continue to get better. And, we've had some success, been able to open up our recruiting bases and not only get kids, in the Northwest, but also down in California and Arizona and Colorado and obviously Idaho. And we've had some success getting kids from all over. But definitely the main guys that we're getting and who we hang our hat on are, those guys from the Northwest that are homegrown and we're able to get them down here and have them continue to progress. And, I think another large reason why we've had some success is just the quality of people that we've been able to get in the program and not only the baseball piece, but just how they're handling their business each and every day, not only on the field, but here on campus and in the classroom and, how they're taking care of everything.
So let's talk about your team. Let's talk first pitching. Tell us about your pitching staff.
Have quite a few new faces. Spencer Watkins is back, who was in our starting rotation last year, so he'll be still in there, someplace. And a couple guys out of the bullpen. Cody Stone is back, who set a GNAC record for saves last year. Very, very good kid that continues to get better, so we're excited excited for him for this upcoming year. And a lot of the other guys are new and guys that we're excited about. Mike McInerney, our recruiting coordinator, did a very good job with this year's class, so we'll kind of wait and see after this upcoming series at Monterey Bay, but we're definitely excited about where the pitching staff is.
do you pretty well have already determined who's going to start, who's going to relieve?
For the most part, I mean, roles have been pretty defined, but obviously those things will change as the season goes on. But throughout our 24 days of team practice, we were able to get quite a few inter squads in and get guys in live situations. And then they got to their individual work there that ran up till about Thanksgiving. And then, we've had very good weather down here. We can't have too many complaints. We've been outside quite a bit and been in some live situations. So the body of work for all of our guys to make decisions on, guys had opportunities. And as a coaching staff, we're able to observe them in numerous situations and, have a pretty good grasp, we feel, on where guys are going to be able to have the most success.
Let's talk about your lineup. Daniel McNabb, one of your top returning hitters. Tell us about who else in your lineup presents a threat to other teams.
Yeah, we're excited. Danny was able to put together a very good year last year, and he's continued to get better, too. Another very good kid. And then some other guys in the outfield, Tim Roush, who came here out of high school. He especially towards the tail end of last year, had some very, very big weekends for us and some clutch hits. And then Chris Bradshaw as well. Ended up, when we moved him to the leadoff spot, it's kind of really when we started to take off a little bit more offensively. We struggled a bit at the beginning of the year, and getting him in that leadoff spot kind of got us going a little bit. So we're excited about him. On the infield, Garrett Harpool is back again, a very, very good defender, and we're excited about some of the gains that he's made offensively. Josh Solmsaas, who's been with us, this is his fifth year in the program after he redshirted his first year here. He'll be getting time at one of the middle infield spots. Jake Whistler, who's been here for 4 years now, counter redshirt here, another guy in the middle infield. And then Will Chavaria behind the plate, who split time with Scott David last year. He'll be getting the majority of the time early, and then, we'll kind of wait and see what happens. But, he'll be behind the plate for us here game one.
I always think that baseball cliche about strength up the middle, pitching, catching, shortstop, second base, center field. There's a lot to that, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely. Having guys that you trust in those spots and, not only for making plays and handling different situations, but being able to communicate and, make sure guys are in the right spot. It's almost like your linebacker there making your defensive calls or your quarterback there that's changing the play of the line of scrimmage. So having guys that can communicate and that you trust up the middle is obviously huge.
So you got some tough California competition. You're going on the road. You're going to play in against Monterey and against Sonoma State. These are teams, I would guess, they've been outside. I know you've had pretty good weather. But what kind of an adjustment is it to play California teams so early in the year?
Yeah, it's an exciting opportunity for us to be able to get down there and just have such a great early season test. I mean, we know both those teams are going to be ready, and they're going to be both very, very well prepared by those coaching staff with Coach Gales and at Sonoma State, and then Coach White there at Monterey Bay. So we'll have our work cut out for us. But like I said, it's just so exciting for us to be able to have that opportunity so early in the season to see where we're at and spots that we need to improve on and continue to grind down to get better. But we're definitely excited to get down there and get after it.
Coach Walker, one of the things I think that comes with being a perennial champion is that you don't catch many teams by surprise. I mean, I got to think that that's going to be sort of one of the things you guys have had to face for a few years now. You win 12 straight championships, and you're not surprising anybody.
No, each and every weekend we're going to get a team's best shot, and they're going to be ready to come after us. And, it's something that we have to embrace and get excited about, that you're going to get that team's best every weekend, whether it's from a starting pitcher on the mound or how those hitters are going to battle with your pitchers. But, you got to enjoy that. You got to enjoy that you're getting the best shot from those quality opponents. And, you start looking around the different websites in the GNAC, and rosters are getting deeper. Teams are getting better. Coaching staff are doing a very, very good job preparing their guys. And then, Coach Musgraves over at NNU with his first year, I know he'll have that thing rolling. And, we'll have our work cut out for us again, but that's just kind of the nature of the beast here at Western Oregon. And, like I said, we embrace it and enjoy it, and we're excited to get going here.
I'm excited for you. Baseball season is an exciting time of the year, I think, for all of us who kind of struggle in the winter months waiting for baseball. Hey, have a great trip. Thanks so much for being with us.
All right, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you so much. Kellen Walker, Western Oregon Wolves baseball coach, heading down to California for a big trip. And we're going to switch, stay on the diamond, I guess you could say, but go from baseball to softball. We're going to talk with Rick Noreen, St. Martin's softball head coach, St. Martin's being the preseason favorite in softball, coming up here in just a moment. Now let's take a look at this week in the GNAC. In Bellingham, the Western Washington men's basketball team is getting set to host Alaska Anchorage in the GNAC Game of the Week on Root Sports, Saturday at 9 p.m. Pacific Time. Western Washington is currently in a three-way tie for first place in the conference standings and will play Alaska Fairbanks, another first-place team, on Thursday at 7:30 Pacific in another key matchup this week. The Western Washington women's basketball team gets set to host Montana State Billings on Thursday in a battle between the two conference leaders. Western Washington has won six games in a row, extending its home court winning streak to 26 games dating back to January of 2012. In Seattle, five GNAC track teams are getting set for the University of Washington Invitational, which spans Friday and Saturday. In Monmouth, the preseason favorite Western Oregon baseball team is getting set for its first road trip of the season as it takes on Cal State Monterey Bay in a doubleheader on Saturday. The St. Martin softball team begins defense of last season's GNAC title on Saturday with a doubleheader in California against Cal Baptist. And be sure to follow GNAC Sports on Twitter and Facebook for updates and the latest scores, standings, news, highlights, and more.
Get the degree you need for the life you want at Central Washington University. Small classes and nationally recognized faculty passionate about teaching give students a chance to do what they're learning. Central's approach takes students beyond the limits of textbooks in the classroom. Visit CWU in sunny Central Washington and online at cwu.edu. Learn, do, live at Central Washington University.
With 10 institutions in 5 states and 1 Canadian province, the Great Northwest Athletic Conference has established itself as one of the premier athletic associations in NCAA Division II. In its proud history, 71 GNAC teams have recorded top 10 national finishes, with national titles coming in men's basketball, women's soccer, and men's soccer. Covering one of the largest footprints in the NCAA, GNAC members include University of Alaska Anchorage, University of Alaska Fairbanks, Central Washington University, Montana State University Billings, Northwest Nazarene University, St. Martin's University, Seattle Pacific University, Simon Fraser University, Western Oregon University, and Western Washington University.
It's kind of a change of seasons, you might say. The basketball season, very exciting and getting into the real climax here as we're at about the midway point. But we're at the beginning of the baseball and softball seasons. We just had the guy who's head coach of the men's baseball champion, and now we're going to switch over to women's softball, and we've got Rick Noreen, St. Martin softball head coach. Coach, congratulations. I guess it's a good thing that you've been named the preseason favorite this week for this upcoming season in softball.
Yeah, good evening, Kevin. It's exciting for our team and players and university, and it's like you said, it's you never know whether it's a good thing or not to have those expectations put on you. But it's a new challenge for our program and something that we have talked to the team a lot about, and how you learn to deal with a different avenue as you begin the season.
So tell me about your team. Returnees Lacey McLadry and Sam Munger, named All-Americans last season. Nice to have them back, obviously.
Yeah, you know, when you look at both of those players, they've had outstanding careers, and Lacey will be a senior this year, so she's going into her fourth season and has been outstanding since winning Freshman of the Year her first year in the league, and then Sam the same thing her first year, and You know, we're just super proud of them continuing to grow as players and athletes and leaders in our program. And then we look at Danny Wall and Tavia Jenkins coming off of the regional tournaments they did last year. It was just very exciting to see them grow as players and carry that over now with that confidence into a new season. And then we look forward to having, as all coaches do, an influx of new talent coming into the program and see how they respond when they get a chance.
When you've got back-to-back years, as I understand it, where you've had the freshman player of the year, it suggests your recruiting's going pretty well.
Well, you know, I think that's part of it, is trying to find the right players that are a fit for a program. And I just give all the credit to the players that we're talking about, and they really took on the challenges that we put in front of them and have grown as athletes and players. Every day when you go out as a team and you have your players give everything that they have and grow as individuals but become great teammates with each other, then you get those kind of awards and rewards. So that's fun from a coaching perspective to watch those things happen.
It sounds like you're talking about a cultural theme, a cultural thing really with your team. It sounds like you've got some chemistry.
You know, we've been doing this for quite a while now, and I think that's kind of what we've learned over the years, is that the best players don't always make the best teams. And that's one of our challenges that we face. This is our fourth season coming up here now at St. Martin's, and it was fairly easy to see when we first got there that we needed to do a cultural shift within our program. And our emphasis, and it's a special emphasis this year with our team, is learning to serve each other's, and it's a core value of the university and what we stand for. And we've really tried to emphasize that with our players of serving, you know, the St. Martin's community, the local community in the Lacey area, as well as our team and teammates and parents and all those things. And building in that cultural philosophy really is starting to take hold within our team. And it's fun to sit back and see the dynamics of young ladies come into a program when they're 17 years old and as they grow through their time here, really become leaders, and certainly they gain the education during their time here too. So you just see the well-roundedness in the person when they leave the program.
That's great. That's great to hear. One of the things that makes your program a little bit different, maybe really helps you with the cultural aspect, is the fact that your assistant coach is your wife.
That's been a tremendous help for me personally, and certainly for the players as well, to be able to have someone that I can count on all the time to work with the players, and certainly from the female perspective, be able to work with them on a day-in and day-out basis and give her experiences as a student athlete, and then coaching for you know, we've been doing this now for over 20 years, I guess. So it's nice to have that companion that's right there too. And there are times when we, you know, we'll just get on. Unfortunately, we drive separately to practice, so we'll be on the phone on the way home and be able to review practice and talk about what we saw that day and what we want to work on the next day. And just to be able to be that close and be able to share our thoughts together, I think that does make a huge difference.
So let's talk about your team. We'll start with, as we did with Western Oregon, we'll talk about pitching first. Tell me about your pitching staff.
Well, obviously Sam Munger was the pitcher of the year in the GNAC last year, and so she'll be back as a junior. And with Sam, she's one of those players that wants to be on the field at all times, and we love to see her on the mound. She loves to play some shortstop as well. And we'll see her kind of do some dual roles, both in the infield and on the mound. And it's been fun to see her improve both strength-wise and conditioning-wise this year. And we look forward to a great year from her. We have a sophomore pitcher in Kaylee Lawson that didn't get a lot of opportunity to pitch for us last year due to some injuries. And so we're excited to see what she can do in competition, and then we'll be looking, if we need to go beyond those two, we'll have a couple other players that have spent some time on the mound and will be there as reserves. But we looked at those two as being our primary pitching staff.
So here's a little naivete from me, being a baseball fan, not as exposed to softball. Is the right-left dynamic, you know, where in baseball, if you're a pitcher, you want to face a right-handed hitter, if you're a right-handed pitcher, does that also hold true in softball? And if it does it allow you to put Sam Unger in at shortstop for a couple of batters and bring her back out to the mound?
Yeah, it probably doesn't play as much of a role that you would see in baseball, where you're seeing the break of the ball across the plate, depending on which side you're standing on. So we don't see that nearly as much. The only advantage with a left-handed pitcher, I think, sometimes that you don't see too often in our game, and so just the different perspective, I think, sometimes can make it. But it doesn't work the same as baseball.
Okay.
Typically, our game is usually more of an up and down game in the strike zone, and that's
gotcha.
The real difference, and that's why baseball players have a hard time hitting a softball pitcher, is that they're not used to seeing a ball go up, and that's the real difference.
Makes sense. So how about your starting lineup hitting wise?
Well, that's still in the works. I think one of the great things about having success is you start to have a lot of players that want to join your program. So we have a pretty good-sized roster this year with a lot of competition going on at all spots, and that's always fun to see. So we're still trying to work out exactly who hit where and play where. But we'll see certainly the returners of Lacey and Sam and near the top of the lineup. And then we'll have Tavia Jenkins and Danny Wall in there too, which are junior returners. Megan Miller was a starting freshman for us last year at third base, and she will this year as well. I'm not sure where she's hitting the lineup yet, but she does a great job and had a great end of the year for us. After that, we will we'll see some new faces on the field for us. We have several freshmen that will certainly see playing time and get their at bats. Jackie Schmaling will probably be our starting catcher this year from the Sacramento area, and then we'll have Alyssa Slate will be in the infield and hitting for us probably at shortstop, and then Kaylee Hull is another California freshman that we have in that from the Chico area that will be in left field for us. After that, we're looking at some real competition for playing time. We've had we have a transfer student, Maria Roney, that came in from Division I program back east that is an exceptional leader and just a great addition to our team that is fighting for some time, as well as several others that, like I said, it's nice to have the problems we do with that.
No doubt about that. Well, some of it's going to sort itself out on your trip to California. Are you making a couple of trips down there?
We do. It's, you know, I think you talked about with Western Oregon baseball too, but softball and baseball in the Northwest is a very difficult thing sometimes, although this spring has been fantastic so far. It's a little chilly out there in the afternoons, but when it's not raining, we can't complain. So we're excited to go down, see a little bit warmer weather, and get out on the field and see how people perform and put people in different positions and just see how they do. So we'll be down there in Southern California this weekend and play Cal Baptist and Cal State San Bernardino, and then the following weekend we'll get to go and see Sonoma State and the Academy of the Arts in the Bay Area, and really get a good test and hopefully some great weather and see how our kids can come out and perform.
One of the things that I love about small college athletics is academics play a big part of that. And I know on a road trip like that, academics are going to play a big part of it.
We're really fortunate with how we're able to set up our transportation and on our flights, that we can fly down later on a Friday. So we'll have two kids, I think, that will miss a Friday afternoon class. But other than that, we won't miss any class time. And our kids are so good about taking the opportunities, whether it's on the airplane, it's in the airport, on the van ride to the hotel, or in the hotel room itself. They're always in their books, and that's great from a coaching perspective to see that their priorities are right, and they know that they're here first and foremost for their education, and they take every opportunity that they can to get their studies done, and then when it's time to turn on that switch and play ball, then they're ready to do that.
Part of that well-rounded culture that you were talking about. Coach, thanks so much for being with us, and have a great trip to California. Have a great couple of trips.
Great. We appreciate it. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much. Rick Noreen, St. Martin's softball coach, with us tonight. I'm going to welcome back Evan O'Kelly. Evan, thanks so much for lining everything up. I'll tell you, it's great to hear people talk baseball. I know you're a former baseball player, third baseman. But it's nice to see baseball and softball coming up. And at the same time, we have the excitement of a very competitive basketball season for both men and women.
Yeah, absolutely. It's hard to kind of believe we're talking about baseball and softball here in January, but they're raring and they're ready to go. Western Oregon and St. Martin's. And then, of course, in basketball, heading into the second half of conference play, a couple of really tight races on both the men's and women's side.
I did not hear until the coach let us know about the start that Simon Fraser had in their game last week when they hit 12 shots in a row at the beginning of the game. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, they really got rolling, and it was definitely an eye-opener. You know, they came out probably with a chip on their shoulder. They grabbed their first conference win there, scored 100 points, and when you start like that, it's hard to really come back.
So the big game, of course, on television this week is at Bellingham. It's Saturday night, 9 p.m. Pacific time. What do you think?
Well, I think we're going to see another battle there. I don't know if Anchorage's confidence will be boosted now that they've seen, you know, the streak for Western Washington has been snapped now. You know, they had won 36 games at home. And actually, I was talking earlier today to Dave Harshman, one of the Root Sports broadcasters.
Yeah.
And he actually brought up a good point saying that now that the streak has been snapped, perhaps that takes the edge off of Western Washington. They don't have to think about it. They can play more calm and relaxed. So both of those things factoring in. And then Western Washington in first place, Anchorage just two games back. It should be a great matchup.
You know, I think he brings up a good point, because I saw that game that Western Washington lost at home, and you did feel, you did sense sort of a little bit of nervousness, a little bit of tenseness with the big streak on the line, especially when SPU came out, got the lead, and kind of had control of the game early. I do think that that's going to be a weight off of their shoulders.
Yeah, and I think we'll just have a chance to see some really quality raw basketball from both of those teams. You know, the other things, the fantasticism around those types of things, the streak and everything, will be not a non-factor, and we'll get to see the kids really just play for the sake of playing. Western for defending their position at the top of the standings, and then Anchorage trying to elbow their way in here as we get going in the second half.
And I'll tell you, Western Washington and Montana State fighting head-to-head in the women's side, too. So it's very exciting.
Yeah, that should be, you know, I got my eye on that one on Thursday. Montana State Billings women will be in Bellingham. Those two teams are tied for first place in the standings. Western Washington's won 6 in a row. Billings has won 4 in a row. So that is going to be an excellent matchup as well.
And the Western Washington women have their own home court winning streaks, right?
Yep, that's correct. That one's at 26 consecutive wins at home, and that dates back to January 2012. So the streak's alive and well on the women's side, so we'll see what happens there.
Okay, should be very exciting. We are going to move along. Hey, Evan, thank you so much for being with us. We sure appreciate all the preparation you do and lining up the show. Always great talking with you. So have a great week and enjoy the games.
All right, sounds good. We'll talk to you next time.
Sounds great. Evan O'Kelly with us on GNAC Insider. Thank you for being with us, and I hope you'll join us again next week for the Great Northwest Athletic Conference.
Thank you for joining us on GNAC Insider, the weekly update on the student athletes, coaches, and events of the NCAA's Great Northwest Athletic Conference. Catch us live every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Pacific at blogtalkradio.com/GNAC Insider. Or listen at your convenience throughout the week at gnacsports.com. Or subscribe to the podcast over iTunes. GNAC Insider is a production of Soundbrook, creating revenue streams with digital audio.